A recent study has found that 60% of South African organizations have fallen prey to public cloud cybersecurity incidents. Internationally, organizations are also dealing with similar threats, although it would appear that in Europe, where strict laws have been put in place to safeguard data, that they're faring somewhat better. These are some of the findings revealed in the Sophos State of Cloud Security 2020 report. I'm joined on the line by John Shire. He's a senior security advisor at Sophos. Good to have you on, John. So just educate us a bit. When we talk about the cloud, in this case, the public cloud, what are you referring to exactly?
So the cloud in general is what we used to refer to as the internet. But the way it's being used today is effectively machines that are not yours. So if you think of the big cloud providers like Microsoft and Amazon and Google, they have all the actual physical hardware and the networking hardware. But you then put your operating systems, your applications, you put that on their hardware. So it's a bit of a shared responsibility here between who owns the hardware and who owns the software.
Right. So in your analysis of cybersecurity violations, how do they tend to manifest themselves? Typically, what's the modus operandi of these cyber criminals?
So with respect to the cloud, there's a few different things that can happen here. So one of them is just outright data theft. So if there's data being stored in the cloud that's of interest to cyber criminals, then they can break into your environment and steal that data. And that can be done through a number of different ways, either, you know, outright hacking or exploiting some sort of vulnerability to get to breach their way in. Or they could be reusing stolen credentials, for example. And stolen credentials are available for sale on the internet and on the dark web as well. There's also the possibility that they may use that hardware, the horsepower of that hardware, to do something like mine for crypto coins, and we call that crypto jacking. That's where they basically use the computing power of the cloud in order to generate to mine for crypto coins and generate money for themselves. So those two things happen quite often, and then there's kind of everything else as well. For whatever reason, the criminals might want to use your computers as bots to deploy additional malware or to spam out some of their phishing campaigns as well.
So my understanding is that in some instances, these criminals can often seek a ransom in order for an organization to get back the key or whatever it is to their data. Typically, what's happening in practice, are firms actually paying these people in order to get their keys back?
Yeah, so ransomware is another one of the results of maybe one of these attacks or breaches where the criminals will either encrypt your data and then sell you back a key to decrypt that data, or they'll also steal your data and encrypt it. So there's kind of a double whammy there, if you will, because now they've got additional pressure where they can say, well, you know, if you want your data back, pay us for the key, and we also have this data stolen, and sometimes they'll ask for a secondary payment to delete that data. But to answer your question about whether people are paying, it really depends on the organization's readiness, security readiness. So if they've got all the backups required to restore all that data without paying the criminals, then many companies will often choose that route. But there are some companies that, for whatever reason, either they haven't done the security basics first and so don't have those backups, for example, or they find out that when it comes time to restoring those backups, they may be corrupted. So they're sometimes forced into paying the cyber criminals. What we found in our recent State of Ransomware survey is that about 27% of us, respondents actually pay to get their keys back. So the vast majority don't.
Right. So in the South African context, you note that there's a lot of susceptibility to these kind of attacks. Why is there this vulnerability, and what can organizations do to safeguard against future instances of violation?
Right. So specifically, we're talking about the State of the Cloud survey that we did, and within South Africa, there were some numbers. You know, we saw, you know, 25% were exposed to ransomware. We saw about 30% were exposing their data. And so what's happening here is there are some companies that maybe are not getting the idea that of that shared responsibility I mentioned earlier. So
yes,
with respect to the cloud, the way that the cloud providers like to operate and the platforms like to operate is they're responsible for the security of the cloud, meaning the hardware that is the infrastructure of the cloud, whereas you're responsible for what's in the cloud. So any operating system, any applications and services that you deploy through the cloud. So you've got to make sure that you do your due diligence, and simple things like making sure you're patching, making sure your operating systems, making sure that you're not allowing too much unrestricted access, both inbound and outbound, to those services, making sure that things like multi-factor authentication is turned on to all of your accounts. Those are just a few things that you need to keep in mind, but those are part of what we call the security basics, the security foundation. And that really makes you much more resilient against an attack.
Yeah. And I suppose now, with a movement by many corporates to get many of their employees to work from home due to the COVID crisis, this is all the more reason why firms would need to invest heavily in securing their systems.
Absolutely. So this move to remote working has led some cyber criminals to sort of double down on trying to breach cloud instances and trying to breach cloud environments. We've seen a much higher incidence of Office 365 phishing, for example, which is just an entirely cloud-based Office productivity suite that includes things like Outlook and some of the other, Word and Excel. Mm. And we've also seen that for years also against the G Suite, so Gmail and some of their products as well. So the cyber criminals know that we're remote working right now, so they're looking for every opportunity to take advantage of that and see if they can reach into our networks and steal our data.
Mm. Smaller firms may be worried about technology costs. Are safety regimes costly, or there's a spectrum of offerings to cater to different firms' pockets? But then again, I suppose the issue of quality also comes in.
There is a range of options. And so, if the first thing you need to look at is, do you have the capabilities in-house to deal with these new products that you want to onboard? And if you don't, that's the time when you start to turn to things like managed service providers who can help you and work alongside with you to implement some of these things. But for the companies that can afford, there's lots of products out there that can protect against all sorts of threats. We also have products that can look at the cloud specifically and say, okay, where are all your assets? How are they all connected? What kinds of access do the people who are managing the cloud have to all of these assets? And specifically in multi-cloud environments where you're using more than one company, so let's say you use Microsoft and Amazon, for example, we can give you visibility into that entirety of that cloud, so that you're making good decisions and applying the security products where you need them most, and then you have that visibility to spot any potential attacks or breaches as they happen.
Mm. In your report, you do indicate that the European market seemingly does better in dealing with cybersecurity threats. Is there any particular reason for that?
I think that part of that is due to GDPR, because with GDPR, while it was focused on data protection, in order to do that data protection, you had to apply some additional security measures to your environment, which includes things like maybe applying more security products and also more visibility. And I think that regulatory pressure has made even some of the more previously negligent firms, and the ones that would just do the bare minimum, they were doing that bare minimum, but now it was a more secure bare minimum, and therefore because of that, they were the beneficiaries of additional security. So I think that has definitely contributed to it.
And then one last thing, John, just in case I really didn't ask you everything, is there sort of a catch-all statement that you'd want to direct to organizations that are listening about the importance of taking care of the cloud?
I think I'll just repeat what I said earlier, which is that the cloud is a shared responsibility. So when you start thinking about using the cloud, when you start thinking about deploying assets and services into the cloud, really think through, how would I do it if it was on my own network, in my own premises? And apply that same amount of thinking and care and thought into doing it securely in the cloud as well. As I said before, the cloud, the platform providers themselves are there to provide you the hardware, the infrastructure onto which you're going to apply your operating systems, your applications, your services. But those applications and services are there for you to protect. That data is there for you to protect. So start thinking in those terms, and I think you'll have a much better success rate at preventing attacks and breaches.
That was John Shire. He's a senior security advisor at Sophos.